Hi, and welcome to the Dr. Z and J-Dub podcast. I'm J.W. Stewart, a veteran broadcaster and journalist with nearly 30 years' experience. I've worked at ESPN and NBC, and now I teach at the University of New Haven.
And I'm Cheyenne Zenger, Director of Athletics at the University of New Haven, previously the same position at the University of Kansas and Illinois State University. Prior to that, I spent many years in athletic administration and just as many years coaching college football. Welcome to the Dr. Z and J-Dub podcast.
Hi again, everybody, and welcome back to the Dr. Z and J-Dub podcast presented by the Pink Clover Foundation. I'm J.W. Stewart alongside our UNH Athletic Director, Dr. Z, Cheyenne Zenger. Dr. Z, how you doing today?
It's been a good day. How are you doing, J-Dub?
Doing well, thank you. Doing well. We want to thank all of our viewers and listeners, as always, across all of our social media platforms. And, of course, our podcast is available on iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. It's been a real hot stretch here in Connecticut. We've had, I think here where I live, I'm about an hour north of campus, we've had six straight days of 100 degree heat. Even down the shoreline, you guys have been baking over the last week, haven't you, Dr. Z?
You know, wow, I didn't realize you'd had it that hot up there. It reminds me of the Midwest. You know, my wife keeps reminding me that compared to what we're used to, this is really still pretty mild. And there's about being on the shoreline, just that breeze. You know, I sit out on the porch at night. If I don't go down to the beach, I sit out there on the porch and finish up my work. And you just get that, you know, you smell the salt, you smell the, you know, to me, it smells like oysters on a really good day. Just the ocean, you know, and just kind of relax and cool off. And the biggest change is the last few weeks, you don't need a sweatshirt at night. You know, we're in the time frame. And I know that's going to last through September probably, but really enjoyed the temperatures around here. Even now, this is what summer ought to be, you know?
Absolutely. And it's funny you say summer because our guest today is Dr. Summer McGee. We'll bring Summer out in a couple of minutes. But Summer McGee is the dean of our School of Health Sciences here at the University of New Haven. She is also the COVID-19 Task Force Coordinator and is one of the main people, if not the main person, responsible for getting our campus reopened safely. It's been opening and reopening in the several phases, and we'll talk about that with Summer in just a few minutes. But Dr. Z, you've gotten to know Summer and Glenn and her family a little bit since you've been here, haven't you?
It's been a lot of fun. And quite frankly, for the viewers and listeners, early on in our podcast history, we had Glenn McGee on. He's our deputy provost. And, you know, I don't want to embarrass Summer, but together they're kind of a intellectual power couple. And I'm it. You know, they both have degrees in things I can't pronounce or spell, have written in the area, have, you know, done, and she'll share with us kind of what their background is, but she has all kinds of neat experiences that are at a very high end intellectually and academically. They're responsible, quite frankly, for where I live. They're the ones who talked me into looking in that area, West Shore, and they live there as well. And so, they're a fun part of my life, both intellectually and socially.
Yep. Yeah, you mentioned her husband, Glenn McGee, our deputy provost. He was on back on April 30th with President Kaplan when we did our special Founders Day episode, which we did live on Facebook and across all of our social media platforms. It's hard to believe we've come, you know, end of April to here we are, end of July. Seems like it's gone by in the blink of an eye. Even in the last week, things have changed quite a bit. I wanted to wrap up our show from last week and kind of update our viewers and listeners to where we are. Last week, we talked with John Mays, our executive producer of this podcast and associate AD, and talked about the leadership program for our student athletes, and Rob Thompson, Broccoli Rob, who's our producer and also works at UNH and has for a long time with regard to, you know, fundraising and director of development. And how, what he's doing for, you know, helping students with mentoring and career development. Of course, we had Robin Salters on, our longtime volleyball coach, but, you know, also our deputy AD and senior women's administrator. She talked a lot about creating the Charger Alliance for Diversity Education. Mm-hmm. Since we did that show last week, Dr. Z, what's been the feedback and what has happened across all three of those platforms?
You know, some of our central administration took a look at it before we sent it out to parents, and the feedback was really good and fun. And for me, it's important for the viewers from time to time to see our staff, and kind of the heartbeat of who we are here. And you got to see three of our best there and what they get to contribute. But the messaging of this fall, you know, it's going to be different. We're going to have modified practices and workouts. You're going to be in class, in person and or virtually. But, you know, this is the time. This is the great sabbatical, as I called it last week, to for athletics in general and universities as a whole to, I should say athletics more specifically and universities in general, to call a time out and focus on the things in your world, you'd call it shoulder programming. You know, we have a chance to really help our young people grow academically, athletically, spiritually. And when I say spiritually, I mean leadership, career development, and diversity training. And there's other components of that that we can touch on as well that help them grow and become the best version of themselves they can be while they're in college. That's kind of our job, to put them out there on the streets in 4 or 5 years, a better version of what they were when they came in. That's why you went to college and I went to college, to better ourselves. And we owe that to them.
Absolutely. As we said last week, and we'll continue to say it, just because there are no sports in terms of on-field or on-court competition through the end of 2020, it doesn't mean that there are not opportunities. It's quite the opposite. There are plenty of opportunities for our student-athletes and our students across the entire spectrum at the University of New Haven, which is one of the great reasons, you know, students still want to come back to the UNH despite the global pandemic. That's one of the positive messages we've heard from our students and student-athletes, is that how many of them do want to be back on campus.
You know, before summer comes out, you're just triggering all kinds of thoughts here. And not only do we do our own podcasts, I listen to other podcasts. I do a lot of reading throughout the day and the week. And you're reminding me of a motivational speaker that I'm fond of listening to. And I utilize this quote in my own speaking and speeches. And that is, you know, the one thing that every human being's given equally, it may not be intelligence, it may not be physical ability, it may not be height, the one thing we're all given, it may not be finances, is we're all given the same amount of time, 24 hours in a day to utilize. And whether we're competing on game day or not, you've still got 24 hours a day to get better every day, physically, mentally, spiritually. And that will be our message over and over and over to these young people. We've already put that out in various ways. We had a Mental Health Monday Zoom call again Monday with Miles McPherson again, and you know, that's just reiterated over and over and over again. I'm sorry, I'm in the coach mode here, but it.
Well, you can't, you know, you're always going to be a coach. You're a coach at heart, and, you know, as a leader, as, you know, of our athletic department, there's a lot of coaching that goes on there, too. I don't think you ever stop coaching, Dr. Z.
No. And it's why I've stayed in this business. I just moved over to administration, heck, 20-some years ago, because I saw an opportunity to help coaches coach their student-athletes, and it fulfilled a lot of other endeavors and roles for me. But at the same time, when I'm an old man, you'll find me out there coaching the running backs at some high school. You'll drag me off the field boots first.
Well, let's bring out our guest today. Summer McGee is the dean of our School of Health Sciences at the University of New Haven, is also the leader of our COVID-19 task force. Summer is ensuring that our campus reopens and reopens safely. And Summer's also a national expert in health policy and healthcare management. And Dr. Summer McGee joins us now here on the Dr. Z and J-Dub podcast. Summer, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
It's great to see you here. Before we get into the deep end and all the stuff that you've dealt with regard to the coronavirus pandemic, give our viewers and listeners a sense of who you are and how you got to the University of New Haven.
Yeah, so, you know, I very early on in my young life decided that I wanted to be an academic. I wasn't sure whether I wanted to be a doctor or, you know, some other kind of profession, but ultimately I found myself in the field of public health, and I was really drawn to health policy and other issues. And so, you know, I went straight from my undergrad degree and did my PhD at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health in health policy and management. And you know, worked at a couple of different medical schools, taught health profession students about ethical issues and health policy and how crazy our healthcare system is and how they could make it a little bit more rational. And ultimately ended up at the University of New Haven. Had never been to Connecticut before when I interviewed at UNH, didn't know anything about it. Candidly, had never heard of the school because I'm not from New England, I'm from the Midwest. And so came here and just saw incredible potential in the school and its programs and what we could do. And so, you know, we took a bet on Connecticut and on UNH 8 years ago. And it's been a wild ride, and it's really been remarkable. So we've been able to do some really great things and build some new health programs, and that's what we're doing now.
It's, you know, not only are you the dean of our School of Health Sciences, you actually created it. How do you create something like that, something that's so big and so important from scratch?
Well, you know, when we got here a few years ago, it was clear, you know, we had health programs in every single college, and none of the faculty, none of the students ever talked together, worked together. It was completely siloed, as academia can tend to be at times. So we started on an initiative, you know, and with the support of President Kaplan and others to start bringing those programs together. We created a virtual department for a couple of years and brought all the faculty together and just dipped our toe in that water. And then it became clear that if we didn't bring all those faculty and resources together, we wouldn't be able to achieve even greater things. So in 2018, President Kaplan and the Board of Governors decided to create the School of Health Sciences. And I was very fortunate that they asked me to become the founding dean. And since then, we've just been off to the races. We've started 6 new programs in the last 2 years and really are on a pathway to having some really remarkable undergraduate and graduate health sciences programs in addition to the ones we already had. So it's been a lot of fun and a great opportunity.
JW might not think of these being in the health sciences college, but two of programs that are really important to us in athletics is, one, they just started a degree in kinesiology, which a lot of student athletes like to major in, and we're having an abundance of young people signing up for that. And we'd look to grow that in collaboration greatly. Another one that's probably even more important to us is that's where our athletic training program's housed. And Summer is starting that from ground up, just like she did the overall college. So we will in the future share some personnel. And that's one of the neat things about New Haven, University of New Haven, is you don't have access. So you make, what's that construction term of how you utilize economy of scale. That's what I'm looking for.
I would never have guessed that.
Yeah, I was, you know, that's way over here in another world. I had trouble pulling that in. You know, before we ask Summer hard questions, and I'm not going to have her do this, but if she were to spin her computer around, you know, I brag about living a block from the beach, you would see the beach. She's literally on, you know, their patio. You step off their patio and you're on seashells. It's a really neat place.
Yeah, I mean, in a global pandemic, I couldn't have picked a better place to have to be quarantined for 6 months. You know, at least one of the things that kept us sane through all of this is at least being able to look out and see the water and some birds and keep us going. So yeah, I feel very fortunate to be able to be near the water. It's really helped my, speaking of Mental Health Mondays, it's really been a lifesaver for us here.
Well, Summer, let's dive into it then. Since the campus has been closed on March 9th, what have the last 4 months plus been like for you? You know, with dealing with the global pandemic and everything that how it relates to us, and then the reopening. What has this whole process been like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, it has been the wildest roller coaster ride you could ever imagine. You know, and I feel very fortunate to have a background in public health and to be able to bring my training and my expertise to bear to help the university reopen. Not every university's COVID-19 coordinator has a PhD in public health. So, you know, I think we're in a very good spot to be able to develop sound reopening plans. But, you know, it has just been, you know, you talk about a moving target. I mean, the target changes size and changes direction. And, you know, every day we're, you know, it's not just the regulations and the rules and the reopening process. It's literally the science about this virus, and that we, you know, every day are learning more and understanding more about how it spreads and what we can do to prevent its spread and who's at risk. So every day we're learning the basic nuts and bolts about this disease, and then trying to develop programs and plans to operate, you know, and open safely. So, you know, certainly, you know, I've heard other university presidents and other things say this is the hardest thing they've ever done. And certainly in my young academic administrator career, this is definitely the hardest thing I've ever had to do.
So watching it from a distance, J-Dub, trying to get a hold of Summer, I learned a couple months ago, she has two jobs. Being a dean is more than a full-time job. And the COVID coordinator, I think, is beyond more than a full-time job. So I've learned, you just text her. If you want to talk, you text her. And literally, she goes from Zoom call to Zoom call to Zoom call to Zoom call. You know, John Mays is on our task force that she heads up to about reentry. And him being a member of my staff that's involved with her work, I lose him for hours a day. I'll call him. He's right next door. I'll go, John, where are you? I'm on my task force. I'm like, if that's just a piece of what she's doing. I mean, the folks that are involved in this reentry are giving freely of their time, effort, energy, so all of us can continue as students, as student athletes, as faculty, as staff, to continue to function as a university. And so really, that's a big thank you, but it's also me saying, this is real. She has no life outside. I mean, yeah, I mean, she's... How many people have a house like three times in 5 months? What?
Yeah, you know, and I am glad you mentioned that because, you know, I may be the face of a lot of this, but this has been a remarkable team effort. Every area of the university has given, you know, hundreds of hours of time in preparing our reports, developing our plans. You know, we have 20 plus people just on our COVID operations task force just to handle the logistics and the tactical issues of reopening. We meet 3 times a week for 45 minutes at a time. And then we have subcommittees that are meeting, you know, multiple times a week, 30 minutes at a time. And these are all busy people. So everybody has really rolled up their sleeves. And you know, we know that this is, you know, all of our jobs and all of our responsibility. And so I'm very thankful that everyone has been so generous with their time and worked with us on this because, you know, this is not something you could do alone.
Well, and I've watched you, Summer, you know, as John comes back and we'll have our own senior staff meetings and he'll report what's going on with the task force. You guys will make progress and then new information comes in from the state or the federal level and you have to change again. And so it's a day by day strategy that's evolving and then going back and forth. And I don't even want to go much deeper than that. I watch it on a daily and weekly basis. It's tough going in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, what we tell students and families is the information that we're sharing with you today is accurate as of today based on the guidance and the regulations that we have today. And tomorrow, it could change. So be prepared. Be flexible. That's what we're telling all of our students and families as much as you can. You know, be prepared for the unexpected. That's what we're doing every day. And our plans and what we're doing is only as good as the last bit of guidance or the last bit of scientific information we have. And that's just the world we're living in right now. So, you know, we're taking it hour by hour sometimes, but certainly day by day.
J-Dub, let me ask her one more. Triggered another concept and before I hand it back to you, and that is I have been bragging to incoming student athletes and their parents and others that, you know, this is an athletics adage, but we've gone as a state from worst to worst. Now, we weren't worst, but we're here in the tri-state area where early on, you know, New York and New Jersey got hit pretty hard. Connecticut didn't get hit quite as hard, but we're in this area. And now, depending on what you listen to each day, we're ranked number one for health safety in the country, or we're the green state. I know Vermont was there with us for a while, and I'm so proud of that. And what I'd say to parents that are listening or alums is that we did what we were asked to do. We put on the masks, we washed our hands, we socially distanced. And my life, all of our lives here, it's not that different from normal life. You just got to remember to put on your mask, and we can go have dinner outside. Sometimes inside, I tend to prefer outside at a restaurant. And, you know, you get out in nature and you have dinner with your family, and we've done it the right way. And so I hand that back saying, you're leading our effort for the university to continue what the state's done. You know, this is one school I'd feel very comfortable sending my student or student athlete back to.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's the biggest piece is, you know, all of the things that we've done, we've got to stay the course. And I think that's a really important thing, you know, for everybody to remember too. You know, all the policies and rules and regulations to reopen the university this summer has really come from the state, and they're the reason why we're in such a good position now. So we've got to keep that up and keep vigilant so that we can have a full semester this fall and give all the students that on-campus experience that they really want to get.
Yeah.
Dr. Z brought this up last week, Summer, and he kind of spoke parent to parent to our viewers and listeners in our audience, and I want you to do the same thing. You're a mom, so you know that's the most important job you have. It's more important than being dean. It's more important than being COVID-19 task coordinator. So your message, mother to mother or parent to parent, to those families who might be a little reluctant or a little nervous to send their students back to our campus, what are your reassuring words to them about why it's going to be safe here?
So, you know, I am a parent of a University of New Haven student. So, you know, I can say personally, you know, I think that we have done absolutely everything that a university or any institution could do to put in place the policies, the procedures, all of the measures we need to keep our campus as healthy as possible. And, you know, all we've gone above and beyond what the state of Connecticut has required of us. We put in place measures that, you know, go even further than what we were asked, you know, making sure that, you know, all of these rules and policies are being followed at all times. We put in place a very tight testing window of 5 days to make sure that the time between when you get tested and when you're coming to campus was as small as possible, so that everybody will start the semester and we'll start the semester clean with no virus on our campus. And so, you know, what I would say is I know it's overwhelming. I know that it is anxiety inducing, not knowing about where am I going to get the test or what is campus going to be like when I return in the fall? How different are things going to be? And it's going to be different. We've literally reimagined every aspect of the university and how it operates, but we've done it with the health and safety of every single person on our campus, first and foremost. And we're going to be looking out for you and we're going to take care of you and try to keep you as healthy as possible. So that's literally what we've been focused on 24 hours a day for the last 4 or 5 months. So, you know, if anybody can do it, I think the University of New Haven can, and we've got a good plan in place.
Specifically, Summer, in addition to the tests, what other precautions and safety measures are in place for our students and student athletes and employees as they return to campus? Especially, how is everybody going to socialize? Because that's such a huge part of college life.
Yeah, so, you know, everybody knows about, you know, wearing masks and physical distancing of 6 feet. I think one of the things, one of the biggest changes, we've added a large number of additional gathering spaces and classrooms on the campus, given students the spaces so that they can take their online or on remote classes, that they can still gather. We're doing an incredible amount with outdoor spaces to try to plan events that can still take place outside. We're adding outdoor seating. We put up tents across the campus so students can gather in as safe of a way as possible. Lots of programming, adding tons of events on campus, particularly on the weekends. Student Affairs has been working around the clock to make sure that students who are living on campus or our commuter students can do things on campus with other students who they know have been tested and are safe, and to really you know, create that community on campus. But we're really relying on outdoors, so we hope the weather is good in September and October to be able to do a lot of those things. But yeah, that's the strategy. We've changed dining completely. We've got some great dining innovations, reservation system, meals delivered, grab and go across the campus. We have a space where groups, so like the sports teams, are going to be able to book and have a particular day of the week when everybody can come and eat together in a really large new dining space. So, you know, we've just done a lot of really cool things to, I think, make the university that much better and within the context of physical distancing and all those other requirements. So it's really been great, and it'll be fun to see when everybody comes back in the fall.
I know you've been working closely, and John, obviously, our executive producer here and our associate AD have worked closely on how does this all relate to athletics specifically? I mean, all the stuff you gave us was, you know, very broad in terms of how it's going to affect everyone on campus. Obviously, with Dr. Z, and I'll steer this towards him because I know he'll have a follow-up question or comment or two as well. But with regard to our student athletes who can't compete in terms of playing a game, what are they allowed to do with the restrictions here? And what have you and your task force been able to try to come up with in terms of solutions for them? In terms, are they allowed to practice? What are the rules?
Yeah, you know, I practicing is absolutely fine. I think what we, you know, in the conversations we had with coaches and with everybody in athletics, it was, we have to find a way to practice a little bit differently and just to try to mitigate that risk, right? So we talked about, you know, finding ways to practice in as small of groups as possible, right? So if someone does get exposed or test positive for COVID-19, they've been practicing in their little bubble and they're only impacting maybe a handful of students as opposed to the entire team. You know, making the duration of when you have to be in close contact for certain kinds of drills and things, making those contacts as short as possible, that's gonna reduce your risk. And so, you know, again, I think athletics, particularly if you're outdoors, can be done relatively safely, but it's those little modifications and things that I think will make a big difference in terms of really, you know, reducing that risk.
You know, we're taking a lot of summer's guidance on this as to what that will look like. I have a meeting as soon as this podcast is done with the NE10 athletic directors and senior women administrators and conference commissioners, and we share information from campus to campus back to that group. And so it's amazing what you borrow from other schools, what they're borrowing from us. I feel very, I feel like we're at the front end with Summer and others' leadership as to what we're doing. I know we were at the front end with her leadership as to when we sent the students home. You know, we were one of the first handful of schools that did that. And we were on a NE10 call the next day and other ADs were aghast. What would you just do? Well, 2 days later, they did the same thing. So I feel like we're always a step ahead. And I feel like we're a step ahead in this. But there's an information flow between Summer, our task force, our campus, the NE10. I'm on the phone with Power 5 conferences every week. I'm on the phone with Division 3 conferences. And so I almost feel like a pass-through of all this information. And so whether she knows it or not, a lot of what she's putting out gets shared back out into the real world and it comes back again. I think we're all doing that. Yeah, we all want to compete when that day comes on the field of play. But right now we're all in this business together as educators trying to help other campuses as well as our own.
Summer, I think this question would probably come up from our viewing and listening audience, but with regard to the tests, specifically what kind of tests are we talking about? Are we talking about the nasal swab? Are we talking about blood tests? Are we talking about saliva tests? What can you tell us about what type of test is going to be necessary for students, student athletes, and employees to come back to campus?
Yeah, so the state of Connecticut has been very specific about the kind of tests that colleges and universities can accept, and they've really pushed us and required us to have the gold standard in testing, which is a PCR-based test to detect a current viral infection using a very specific testing methodology that really does the best job of amplifying that the DNA and making sure that you're really getting an accurate test. So that's called an RT-PCR-based test, and that's just the testing method that they use. The good news is you can do that kind of test. You can do it with the long swab that everybody is terrified of, but you don't have to. You can actually do it as a saliva test, or you can do it using a short nasal swab, which is how we'll be doing it on campus for those who choose to get tested on campus, as well as we're going to be sharing just later today some information about at-home testing kits that students will be able to get as well. So we do have to use a very specific kind of test, but the good news is we don't have to use those really scary long nasal swabs for testing. But we can't use antibody tests because the science is still out on that. We don't know how long antibodies last or if they really do protect you from being infected or infecting others. So there's just this one molecular viral test that we have to use. And so, you know, it's been a challenge. I think I probably get about 50 or 60 emails a day from parents and students saying, where I live, I can't get this test in a 5-day testing window. We're hearing delays of 7, 10 days, 14 days. So that's why we're announcing today our preferred testing providers and the at-home testing kit will be able to do results in 24 to 72 hours. And they'll do the test at home, take their own sample and mail it to the lab. So we've got some really great innovations in tech that's gonna help us make sure we can do this testing in a timely manner and make it convenient for everybody too.
That, I tell you what, she threw some words out there I can't pronounce. She's the COVID coordinator. And, you know, the part I do understand is we're all going to get these masks, you know, I get a blue one and a white one.
Yep.
You know, for the student athletes, we're looking into getting, I call them neck sleeves. if they, you know, during a workout, it might be easier just to pull it up. I know other athletic departments are doing that. So we're going to provide, besides the testing, we're just doing anything we can. I like your phrase too, to stay as healthy as we can. You know, no one can promise safety. That's always an interesting word, but we can advocate to be the healthiest that we can.
Yeah. And all parts of health are important, right? This is about, you know, can your immune system handle if you have an exposure, do you get sick or not, right? And so, you know, it's all those aspects. It's your nutrition, it's exercise, it's all of those things. And, you know, throughout this pandemic, I think that's been so hard for people to find ways to exercise, to find ways to eat healthy when we're trapped at home and all we want to do is eat pizza and cheeseburgers, right? So all of those things really matter. So that's what we're emphasizing this fall, is the health of our campus community and all of those pieces, mental health, all of it. We've got to focus on all of that if we want to have a successful fall semester.
You know, it's funny. Summer's husband, Glenn, and I trade quirky health ideas and take different supplements to protect ourselves. I'm a big advocate of zinc and magnesium, and I drink it. I drink a liquid form that just is a bad way to start your morning. You better have something to chase it with. And he has some other stuff he uses. But, I remember when this pandemic first hit, and I was talking to Glenn, and I was eating a cookie or something. He goes, you know what? The COVID loves sugar. You need to watch. You know, it just hits my, every time I go for the cookie or the cake or the soda or whatever, it's like Glenn's in the back of my head going, you know, the COVID loves sugar. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to have a little sugar. But that's an example of the overall nutrition, and we do need to pay attention to that.
Yeah, you know, it all fits together. And so that's the thing everybody's got to know, from hand washing to wearing the mask to what you're putting in your body. Those are the things that make the difference between, you know, getting really sick and staying healthy. And, you know, obviously we put a lot of emphasis on reducing exposure and risk, but it, you know, all of it plays in. You know, the more we learn about this virus, the more we know, you know, the healthier you are to start, the less your risk is of getting the virus or getting sick.
Absolutely. I throw in there also just the concept, and I'm big on this. We hire strength and conditioning experts on every campus, and it's gone from strength to conditioning to speed to diet. And the next piece of it is sleep. I don't know that we need to hire a sleep coach, but young people, student athletes, students, they're the worst when it comes to sleep patterns. And if you want to stay healthy, all of us included here on the show, getting that 7 to 8 to 9 hours of sleep might be the best thing you can do.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a sleep tracker on my phone and my Apple Watch, and it scolds me if I didn't get enough sleep the night before. And you can tell the difference. Once you start tracking it, you can really tell, you know, the difference between 8 hours of sleep and five makes a big difference in how you perform, whether that's mentally or physically. That's a big one. But good luck convincing college students that they got to get 8 hours of sleep a night, right? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. All those student athletes out there, we can tell them that all we want, but it's going to be rough.
Yeah.
Summer, you were a student athlete. Tell us about some of the sports that you grew up playing.
Yeah, so I played softball from the time I was 6 years old, played competitively, traveled on a traveling team around the country, played volleyball as well, did the same. So I was a bit of a jock when I was in high school, but I was also a nerd. And so I'd been a student athlete my whole time, as a young person, and, had to make a decision. Did I want to be a college athlete? Did I want to play Division I softball? I had an opportunity to do that. But ultimately the nerd part of me won out, and I decided that, I just needed a break from athletics and wanted to focus on academics. So didn't play in college, but really, really loved it. It was such a huge part of my life growing up, and I just loved every minute of it. So, and when I came to University of New Haven, I actually started, we had a faculty volleyball team for many years, and we play in rec sports against the students, and nothing makes them madder than when these old people can beat them at volleyball in the rec sports league, which we were league champions one time, and includes Dave Schroeder, who's now the interim dean of Lee College, great volleyball player. Chris Haynes from Model UN Political Science, great volleyball player. We had a whole suite of players. So some of the students know I'm a bit of a jock because I beat them on the volleyball court a couple times.
Good stuff.
You were you. So you guys had a bunch of ringers then to beat the students.
We did. Yeah. But there were a lot of really good ones out there. So it was fun. But that was before I became a dean. Now, unfortunately, I don't have time to play. So,
do I remember it accurately? Were you a pitcher in softball?
I was. Yeah, I was a pitcher. And so this is where, you know, sports psychology is another one of these things that's really big. I was a great pitcher. State records, multiple, you know, no hitters. I threw as a freshman on the varsity team. Really, really great. I also was an incredible hitter. But if I was pitching, I couldn't hit for a lick. So my coach had to make a choice. Did he want me hitting home runs or did he want me throwing no hitters? And so after my sophomore year, I didn't pitch anymore. I just hit and I played for first base because I just couldn't. I couldn't get my brain to focus on both of those things at the same time. So, so I gave up pitching. So my junior and senior year, I just played first base and hit, which was fun. A lot less stress just standing over there on first base.
I figured the coach would want all the no-hitters, right? I mean, how can you lose if your pitcher's no-hitting the opponent, right?
I know. Well, we had some other good pitchers, so it was a trade-off. But I also played powder puff football when I was in high school, and was the quarterback of our girls' football team. So that was fun. That was fun too. So
how did you? So you had powder puff football. You had volleyball. You had softball. We talked about this with your husband, Glenn, back at the end of April. How in the world did you end up playing pinball and being so good at it?
Yeah, it's a funny story. So about maybe 5-6 years ago, you know, as you've heard, my husband and I, we work together. We work in the same institution. We work all the time. We're both a bit of a workaholics. And at one point I said, I think we need a hobby. I think we need to have something where we can get away from work, not talk about work, think about it. And he had just mentioned offhand that he had played pinball when he was a kid. So I went and did some research, and it turned out there are all these amazing pinball places in New York City. So we went to the city and tried it out. I had never played before and played for a whole day. And I was like, this is really fun. And, you know, it's hand-eye coordination. It's like, you know, any other sport, right? You got to make sure you're hitting the ball in the right way. And it turns out there's quite a bit of skill involved in playing pinball. There's moves and there's technique, and so we started playing. We started traveling around and playing in tournaments, and it was a lot of fun. We're not doing it now in COVID because talk about surfaces and indoors, can't do it now. But it was a lot of fun, and we had a good time, and I was pretty good.
By pretty good, do you mean that you've won some tournaments? Glenn already says that you're the pinball wizard of the family.
Yeah, I never won any tournaments, but definitely had some good games. Put my initials on the leaderboard at some machines around New England. You know that. But the competition part. There's some stiff competition in New England, particularly in Connecticut. It's a big pinball state. So haven't won any tournaments yet, but definitely got on the leaderboard a couple times.
Cool. Summer McGee, anything else that you'd like to share with us? You've been very gracious with your time. I know you're so busy. We appreciate you spending some time with us and speaking directly to our audience, you know, our students and student athletes and their families and you know, our UNH employees, et cetera. Any other, what parting words of wisdom do you have for everybody?
So what I would say is first, I want to thank everyone for their patience and their thoughtfulness. This is just an incredibly trying time for everyone, right? And so parents and families, students, everybody has been, you know, so thoughtful and gracious with us as things have changed. And I would just encourage everybody to remember, you know, we're all in this together. We're going to get through this together if we follow those rules and do some things that maybe are a little annoying at times, like having to wear a mask all day. We're going to get through this and we're going to be okay as an institution. So, you know, we've got to have that attitude and be patient with each other. And, you know, we've got 4 weeks until we're all back, actually 3 weeks now, until we're all back on campus. And I think that, you know, if we stick together and keep a positive attitude as everybody has been so far, we're going to have a really, really productive fall semester. So I just want everyone to know we appreciate all the patience and thought and time, and we'll figure this out. So thanks.
That's Dr. Summer McGee, the Dean of our School of Health Sciences here at the University of New Haven. and our COVID-19 task force coordinator. Summer, thanks for joining us here on the Dr. Z and J-Dub podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Before Dr. Z and I wrap things up, the Dr. Z and J-Dub podcast is presented by the Pink Clover Foundation. The Pink Clover Foundation, both a partner and a friend to the University of New Haven. To support the Pink Clover Foundation in their ongoing battle against breast cancer, visit pinkcloverfoundation.org. Dr. Z, you a pinball player at all?
You know, growing up, there was always a pinball machine here and there. I remember at the skating rink that I got to go to once in a blue moon, there were pinball machines. And if you weren't someone who went all the time, you weren't as good as some of the other guys. So it was always fun, but I don't like playing things I'm not really good at. Practice. And yeah, I've been to Summer and Glenn's house and they have quite the pinball machine. And Glenn loves to get you on there, and you know, you're nervous anyway, and then he just shows you how to do it. You're missing balls and they're flying past you and you feel pretty uncoordinated until you've been on it for a while. But it's always been a fun, you know, pinball, pool, you know, darts, those kind of things are, I think we can all get away and relax. And again, this time of the pandemic, I think we're all kind of reverting back to some of the things we did growing up.
Yep. Absolutely. We try to simplify our lives. Absolutely. Yeah. We've talked about that many times on the show before. Your thoughts on what Summer said, what are your takeaways?
Well, you know, I get to talk to Summer a lot about this and to John via the task force, et cetera. I love her approach. It's very student oriented. It's very upbeat. It's, you know, we've had a lot of success in the state and let's just keep paying attention to staying as healthy as we can and doing the little things right. I think it's really that simple. Just do the little things right. You have to have some patience. You know, I'm going to get my test on Monday. I'm glad to hear that it might not be the long swab. But if you'll just, you know, I find myself, I'll get out of the car and I'll be walking toward Lowe's or toward someplace and I'll forget because that my mask is in the car and I always turn around and go get it. You know, it's just that simple, I believe. You know, it doesn't protect everyone all the time, but we now see that those measures have done great things for this state. So let's just keep it for our university and we can have one of those college experiences that maybe other places can't.
Yep. That would be nice. And I think wearing a mask too is a sign of respect just for your fellow human being. I mean, yes, you're doing it to protect yourself and your family, but you're also doing it to protect them. And, you know, we've seen plenty of stories, negative stories across the country about people getting an altercation, someone doesn't have a mask, this and that and the other thing. But it really boils down to how you want to treat other people and how you want to be treated. And we talked about that, live life by the golden rule. So if you're wearing your mask, that's not only a sign of safety, but it's a sign of respect too, Dr. Z.
Yeah, I do it more for the other person than I do for myself. And that's really why I wear it. My wife and I were in line at an ice cream shop last night. And, you know, everyone was a good 6 feet apart, but everyone still had their masks on, you know, just in case. We're outside and, you know, now it's nice to be able to go to these restaurants and once you get to your table, take them off and have a family experience. I really enjoy that. That makes me feel as normal as anything. So you don't have to be off the charts with it. Just follow the policies. And I think we'll all benefit.
Great to have Summer McGee on the show today. Plenty of great information there for our, you know, our students and student athletes and their families and everybody's coming back to campus, staff and faculty and employees. So, you know, I know things do change on a daily basis or an hourly basis. So if anything changes, certainly we'd update you here on the podcast or on our website. But, you know, all the information she gave us is so important for everyone to take to heart. And I agree with you, Dr. Z. I'm also very confident that we can do this. Do it safely, do it responsibly, and have a good fall semester, all things considered.
Yep.
All right, that'll wrap up another show for our presenting sponsor, the Pink Clover Foundation. We thank them as always. And for our guest, Dr. Summer McGee, for our executive producer, John Mays, and our producer, Broccoli Rob Thompson. For Dr. Z, I'm J-Dub. Thanks for watching the Dr. Z and J-Dub podcast. We'll see you next time.